Amen. And so today we're going to be looking at a little Bible story in the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 6, if you have your Bible. Also, you can just follow along with the scriptural text on the screens today. I'm remaining with the theme that I've been on for the last several weeks of being motivated by God's compelling cause and his vision for our life and our church. And I want to announce to you this morning and just make sure that everyone here understands and knows that you have got an assignment from God. How many realize you've got an assignment from the Lord? And so that assignment is some kind of great building project, a project of some kind. Whether his focus and his will is for your building to be his purposes in your marriage or your family or your work or business, and especially your church this morning, you have an assignment from the Lord. And so I want to remind everybody today that God has got something great for you to be involved in. By the way, if you're plugged into the life of God here at this church, you're involved in a wonderful, big, expansive assignment that God's going to use to change this county for the glory of Jesus Christ. How many of y'all believe with me in the assignment of this church? Come on, if you believe in the assignment of this church, give God a good praise right now. Amen. But the assignment for the church really only begins to work at great capacity when enough of God's people, his children, begin realizing that he's got an individual assignment for your life. Amen. Because we're in it together. We're one body, but many members. And you have an assignment. Somebody profess that with me right now. Come on, somebody say, I've got an assignment. Do you believe it this morning? I don't want to get too preachy right now. In fact, I'm going to try to stay in teacher mode this morning because the information here is very, very valuable, but it's going to be tough because I know some people who are discouraged and disappointed and have gotten off course with their assignment. That's why this morning I'm encouraging us in today's message with the theme, courage to keep building. Courage to keep building. So let's go in Nehemiah chapter 6. And perhaps you understand the background of what's taking place here. Nehemiah has received a great assignment from the Lord. He's coming back from the Babylonian captivity, which was about 70 years in the history of Israel, where Babylon had taken most of the Israelites into political captivity. And toward the end of that period, those who were ruling in Babylon at the time gave permission and enabled some leadership from Israel to go back to Jerusalem and begin to rebuild the temple and rebuild the defensive walls around Jerusalem. And Nehemiah's great task was to motivate and inspire the people to build the defensive walls back the way they were supposed to be. See, he understood that he had an assignment from God, the way that you and I have got an assignment from God. Now, I can sense this morning right now that somebody may be in here this morning and they're doubting whether or not God has an assignment for you. So let me go ahead and end all doubt and just inform you right now. If you're breathing and you're on this earth, and especially if you're a child of God, he has got a great work and a great assignment for you to do. Somebody say, I receive it. But just like Nehemiah, your assignment will come with enemies and obstacles to try to derail what God is doing in your life. So I just want to begin to examine this text together and read from verse 1. Come on, if you're at 6 and 1, everybody say, I'm there. Now it happened that Nehemiah has rebuilt the walls and he's working there. And now it happened when Sanballat and Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks in it, though at the time I had not hung the doors in the gates. Verse 2, look closely what happens. What you're about to read here is the enemy is about to come and he's about to try to distract Nehemiah to come down from the wall and get off of his assignment. Verse 2 says, then Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come, Let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. But notice that Nehemiah discerned their true intentions. He said this, but they thought to do me harm. Did you notice that he recognized immediately that the enemy was trying to distract him and harm him and stop the mission? See, church, no matter what you are building this morning, no matter what your assignment is, whether it's building his purposes into your marriage, your family, your business or your work, or in our case together, unified together today, building a great church with a huge mission for the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can always expect enemies and obstacles to come and try to derail what God's doing in your life. We've all experienced this. God gives us a great vision and we're excited about every next step in the building process. But church, it's no surprise this morning that the enemy wants to come in and destroy what great thing God is doing in your life, in your family, and even in the church. Don't even be surprised when you encounter obstacles and enemies when you're serving the purposes of Jesus. In fact, today, understand that destroying God's plans is what drives God's enemies. Let me say that one more time. Destroying God's plans is what drives God's enemies. So if you arm yourself with the foreknowledge that obstacles are coming, you won't be caught off guard when the enemy sends something to try to stop you from doing what God has for you to do. Amen. Jesus said it like this in John 10 and 10. He tells what drives the enemy. He said this, and y'all are very familiar with this scripture. Jesus talking. He said, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But church, in that exact same scripture in John 10:10, the Lord goes on to tell us exactly why you and I can have courage to keep on building the great vision for life, courage to stay on your assignment for your life, your family, and your church. He said it like this. Jesus said, although that thief comes to destroy, the Lord said, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Come on, somebody. Amen. That's why you can go ahead and step off in faith and courage and start denying the enemy his distractions and his plans in your life, because Jesus is the one motivating you. You only need to have great belief in the purposes of Jesus in your efforts, and a great determination this morning not to be distracted by the enemies and the obstacles that come in to throw you off. I'm really teaching this and staying on this theme right now because I so believe in a few things. I greatly believe in God's assignment for your life and for your family. And corporately this morning, I so great believe in when we unify for his purposes and what can be done through this church in Baldwin County by the power of a unified body of Christ. And I want everybody in here to start believing and knowing, A, that God's got a great assignment for you, and B, when you go ahead and plug in to God's purpose and his vision for the house of God, then lives can be changed and people can come to know the Lord and Loxley Church can boom and expand and do great things in the name of Jesus in our county. Come on, if you receive it, say, I receive it this morning. Notice this morning how Nehemiah responded when his enemies and obstacles tried to distract him from his vision of rebuilding Jerusalem's walls. He set a perfect example for us to follow in verse number 3. Look what he did. Nehemiah said this, so I sent messengers back to them. And here's what I said. I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? I'm doing a great work here. Amen. Don't you love this response from Nehemiah? See, he had absolute confidence in what God was doing through him and what he was doing for God. His attitude about this great assignment was this. Hey, I'm doing a great work. You trying to distract me. In other words, he's saying, what I've got going on right now is not something simple, and it's not something expendable. What I've got going on right now is something that's truly great. It's too great, and it's too important for me to stop what I'm doing and come down from this wall and get down there with you and engage in some silly distraction. Anybody hearing me this morning? See, I want to get you thinking about your assignment and the things that the enemy uses to get you off track and get you. Y'all ain't hearing me this morning. Come on. He's saying the work that I'm doing is too great to get derailed and sidetracked by some enemy's plan to get me off track and get me off the wall. He's saying, why should this great thing cease while I come down there to where you are? I don't have time for all that. I can hear him say it. You're just going to have to move on. Enemy, leave me alone. Why? Because I'm going to keep on building this great vision and staying on my assignment that God has given me to do. You can't shake me and you can't make me get my eyes off of the purpose that God has for me or for my church. Can anybody say a good amen this morning? See, this kind of attitude is really that very first step in having courage to keep building the great thing from God. We have to believe so thoroughly in the vision and the assignment that God has given us that we refuse to be distracted by enemies and refuse to be distracted by obstacles. And also listen to this, because it's vital that we get this principle. We'd better be consistent and unshakable in our resolve to stay on task building the great thing for God. Why? Because the enemy, it's not just going to try you once or twice. He's going to come and try you several times, and you're going to have to go through several rounds demonstrating your resolve and faith to stay on your assignment. Come on. How many know I'm right about that this morning? Have y'all been there? Have y'all been there before where you're trying to do great things for God and trying to stay on task with building the great work in your family, in your business, on your job, or even in your church, and the enemy just comes after you one time, two times, and just continues to come? What do you do? Well, you got to go more rounds. Amen. You got to keep on going around, somebody. Amen. Notice what happened to Nehemiah in our text this morning from the very first, next verse, in verse number 4. He said this: but they sent me this message 4 times. Everybody say 4 times. And I answered them in the same manner. 4 times. But notice, after Nehemiah got harassed the first time, he stayed on track. They came and he stayed on the wall. He stayed focused on his assignment. He stayed on track the second time, the third time. And even after 4 times, he so believed in what he was doing that he stayed focused on his great vision and his great assignment. He just kept on saying, this is a great work. This is a great work. I'm doing a great work. I can't stop. I can't come down. And I won't be distracted by your garbage. Go on and leave me alone. Come on, somebody. Now, this morning, if you are not intimidated after 4 attacks, and you stay on track with that great build that's going on, then you've got something going on the inside of you that's driving you to stay on track. Come on, somebody. Many people experience hardships and they experience disappointments. They experience enemies and obstacles. And after just a few hits, they're already ready to throw in the towel and start talking about how hard it is and start talking about what somebody did to them and how hurt they are, and they just can't get back on that wall. But there's something that we need to see today. Nehemiah avoided intimidation and excuses because he was fully submitted to the call of God to complete his great work. Somebody say fully submitted. See, he wasn't just 1 foot in and 1 foot out. He had his mind made up. He was in full submission to the assignment of God. Our courage this morning to keep building and stay focused on the assignment, the mission, comes from our absolute submission to God's great purpose in our life. There's help for us in the Bible, in the New Testament. In James chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. And you know the scripture. The Bible says, God resist the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. And when you submit to God, the Bible says you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. It says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, this is essentially this morning what Nehemiah demonstrated for us as we train. He showed us that being submitted to God and God's purpose enables us to resist. Resist the temptation to get distracted. Resist the enemy's plan to derail the assignment. I talk to people all the time, and let me just go ahead and pause here and make sure we get a hold of this idea, because there are a lot of people who are enduring spiritual battles and spiritual warfare and great disillusionment and disappointment, and they're just kind of laid back and accepted. And maybe they've been knocked off their perch one too many times, and you stop believing that God wants to do something great in and through your life. Well, let me just proclaim this in your life right now. You are not meant or designed by God to stand there and take it with God's power. You can push back a little bit and resist in the name of Jesus. You can, somebody say resist. Resist means to push back. It means to stand your ground, stand in the power of Almighty God, and do the spiritual work of pushing back and refusing to get knocked over and off your assignment. You got to push and resist a little bit. And when you're fully submitted to God, you've got the confidence of knowing that you're about the Father's work. And when you're about the Father's work, the Father's got your back. And we, y'all ain't hear me now. Come on. And when the Father has your back, you can push on back a little bit, because when you push, the Bible says that He may come at you a little bit longer, but eventually if you push back and you resist long enough, He has one option and one option only, and that is to flee from you. Somebody give God praise right now. Come on now. See, being submitted to God and His purpose means that you are completely bought in and sold out to the great thing that the Lord has for you to do. It means that your mind is made up. Is your mind made up this morning? I want you thinking about it. Is your mind made up? It means you cannot be persuaded to come down from the mission and the vision. There's not a set of circumstances that can cause you to cease the great thing that God is doing through you. Come on, somebody. Understand it this morning. You see, I'm trying to speak it life over you this morning, because it's time for some of us in here to believe again. It's time for some of us in here to have the courage to step out again, courage to work hard for God again, courage to believe that God's got an assignment for you, He's got purpose for you, He's got an anointing for you, He's got a great commission for you, He's got something for you to do. How do I know? Because you encounter different people than I do every day, and your steps are different than mine every single day. And the church needs your spiritual and ministry giftings. Just like you need mine, the church needs yours. You're not designed to sit on the sidelines. Come on, you're designed by God to function with a great gift and a great assignment. But you have to be submitted to God and His purposes, or else the enemy's obstacles and his plans will overtake you. It means you're not trying it out. You're not trying out God's vision for life, family, and ministry. You're not trying it out, you're doing it. I love something that my wife always reminds me of when it comes to growth. She says, we're not trying, we're training. Too many people are trying instead of training. But today, when you're fully submitted to the work of God and the call of God and the purposes of God for your life, you don't have to just try it out. Why? Let me tell you this right now. Too many people are in the habit of just trying out the vision. Let me pause right here. Too many people are in the habit of just testing the waters to see if it's going to be easy enough. They're in the habit of only staying on track as long as they don't have to go through some difficult things along the way in order to see God's kind of results. Come on now. But then there are those people. I love being, don't you love being around God's people who've got their mind made up that they're going to be inspired by God and not get knocked off the perch of their assignment? Come on. I love being around people who are driven by the purposes of God and have their mind set and their eyes set on the great thing that God has for them to do. I want to be around those people. See, those are people who've already built up their courageous side, their faith-filled side. Those are people who aren't holding anything back. They are fully submitted to the great work of God. Those are the people who have the ability to resist the temptation to come down from their wall. They don't use excuses. They step off and say, well, you know, I realize that it's going to be hard today, this week, this month, or I might even have a hard year. But I know that as long as I'm serving the purposes of Christ, and as long as I'm praying, and as long as I'm giving, as long as I'm being faithful to God, He's going to be faithful to me. And it might take a day, a week, a month, or even a year for the manifested presence of God, for for his kind of results, the Bible results, to show up in my life. But come hell or high water, whatever the enemy sends my way, I will not look right. I will not look left. I will not look behind. I won't look east and west, north or south, because my eyes are seated, planted firmly on the vision, the assignment, the power, the thing that God has called me to do. Somebody give him praise right now. There are people, men and women of God, who have been tried and they have come through, and now they know something about what God can do. Therefore, they refuse to stop. Anybody getting motivated this morning? I want you to get a hold of something that I got a hold of, because I'm going to tell you right now, my wife and I made up our minds back when we were kids. I say kids because we got married pretty young. We got our minds made up a long time ago that nothing is going to stop us from doing the assignment that God has for us. And trust me, we've been down some paths where it's been real easy to throw in the towel and give up. We've been lied to, cheated against, we've been plotted against, we've gone through health issues and this and that, horrible financial situations. We've been through the nastiest, stinkiest church politics you can possibly imagine. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about on that one. Let me tell you right now, we've already done there. We've been there. We've seen it all. There's nothing that can happen. Listen, I could tell you so many war stories about our life pastoring and our life serving God. I'm convinced at this point that there is nothing that can happen that God hasn't already gotten us through. And let me go ahead and break this to you right now to give you some courage. Once you go through something and God gets you through it, you ain't afraid of it no more. Come on. Here's the thing. That's a word for somebody in here, because it's time to stop making excuses and go ahead and realize that you give God praise for getting you over that hump. You're over it this time. You're already over it. Stop trying to stay back there where God's already delivered you from it. Come on. Y'all ain't hear me this morning. See, there are people who've learned that God does not change, but he completes the things that he starts. So they determine to have courage and faith in the power of God instead of being distracted by the things that men do that might stop them. Here's why we can do it. Because we are not motivated by man's assignment for us. We're motivated by God's assignment for us. Who cares what men do? Somebody needs to hear that one more time. But Pastor Brandon, I thought I could trust her. I thought I could trust him. Well, guess what? You learned the hard way that you can't put your trust in nobody but Jesus. But here's the thing about that, guys. If you're going to learn it the hard way, learn it and move on from it. Don't stay back there reliving and rehashing that pain and that disappointment all over again. Yes, people are going to let you down, but God's not going to let you down. Jesus don't let people down. He stays faithful. Come on. That's why you can have courage to keep on building. Somebody say a good amen. So I got to point this out this morning, that it doesn't take much courage or even much faith to just try out doing the great thing that God has given you to do. See, if you only try out big dreams and big vision from God with a contingency plan in place for giving up, throwing in the towel, and walking away when things get hard or when you get disappointed. Church, listen. When people are in the habit of just trying out the big things that God might do through them, they usually spend more time of life being frustrated, disappointment, disillusioned, and starting over, when what they should have done is just learn to have courage to put their faith in the Lord and stay the course with what God told them to do in the first place. In other words, this morning, if you're tired of starting over, stop quitting. Courage. Courage. Somebody say courage. Arm yourself with this knowledge, that when your enemies and your obstacles can't take you out, I can't bypass this point. This is going to equip some people right here. When the enemies and obstacles try to take you out with one strategy and it fails and you prove faithful, they're going to come after you with some other strategy. And if you're going to have the courage to keep building and to stay on your assignment, you need to go ahead and get ready to hold your ground and resist in faith during phase two and phase three of the attack on your assignment. Look at what happened in Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 5. Look what happened. I'm going to try to hurry. Y'all read it with me on the screen. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before, this time the fifth time. Everybody say the fifth time. He already endured the first four attacks. Now he's going to endure something a little different, a character attack. Notice what happened. This time, the fifth time, with an open letter in his hand. It's very, very significant that this fifth attack, this attempt to stop the mission, came in the form of an open letter. Open letter means that it was intended for the messenger to spread gossip about Nehemiah on the way to deliver the message. In other words, it's an open letter. I'm going to stop off and let everybody read it on the way. Come on. Who knows what I'm talking about? In other words, this morning, when the enemy can't distract you, phase two will usually involve talking about you and trying to turn people against you. See, if the enemy can't disrupt and distract you, he'll try to discredit you by going after your name. And you got to be ready for that too, church, because of the great work. Too much is residing on it. Here's what that open letter said, very, very quickly, verse 6 and 7. And it was written, well, it's reported among the nations, and Geshem says, that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may become their king. Verse 7. And you've also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you in Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. Now these matters will be reported to the king. So come therefore and consult us together. I like two things about this. First of all, they couldn't get Nehemiah distracted and off his wall, so they tried to go above his head. And then, since they couldn't get him ruined, they tried to ruin his name. They tried to spread two damaging rumors about him. They told people that Nehemiah was building the wall for selfish purposes, that he could take them over as their king. And number two, they even told people that Nehemiah had paid prophets to falsely prophesy that God had appointed him to be the king. But notice Nehemiah. He was wise enough not to be baited into that arena of being offended, where he might begin to brashly defend himself. Instead, he just called them out on their lies. Look at verse number 8. I sent to them saying, no such thing as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. Watch this closely, guys. Nehemiah was able to discern the motive of the enemy, and he explained why he was being attacked. Watch this closely, because this is very, very important for you to identify when you are attacked. He said this in verse 9. They were trying to make us afraid. Here's what they said. Their hands will be weakened in the work and it will not be done. But notice Nehemiah, read it along. Notice Nehemiah's response. He said, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Somebody say, strengthen my hands. Did you see that he described a threefold plan of the enemy? He said, they're trying to make us afraid. That's just intimidation. See, the first thing the enemy will always do is intimidate you that the vision is too much, that the assignment is too big, and because you've had difficulties in the past, you won't be able to do it now, so you must be afraid to get started and stay on your wall. Second of all, the enemy said their hands will be weakened. That means there's going to be a suggestion that you're not strong enough and you don't have the appetite and the commitment to do your assignment. And then thirdly, it says the work will not get done. That means that you'll be incomplete and there'll be a stoppage of your assignment. In other words, the enemy's coming to intimidate you, to weaken you, and to stop you from doing the great thing that God has for you to do. But just like you and just like Nehemiah in this story, they picked the wrong guy to try and bring down with those things. Why? Because Nehemiah was in halfway submission under the plan of God. He was in total submission to the plan of God. See, sometimes we become vulnerable to the plots and the plans of the enemy's suggestions because we are only halfway submitted to the plan and the purpose of God. But when it becomes difficult or it stops meeting enough of our preferences, we pull back and may, well, God changed his mind or I'm doing something different. Listen, when you become fully submitted, you can do like Nehemiah did. You know what? They may be trying to intimidate me, to weaken me, to stop getting me onto the assignment. But you know what God's going to do? He's going to strengthen you instead of letting things weaken you. Come on. No, Nehemiah said it this way. We're almost done. Since they're trying to intimidate us and weaken our hands, so that the building will stop, oh Lord, strengthen my hands instead, so this great thing can continue to be built. Church, listen to me. There may be enemies and obstacles that are intended to weaken you, but God will turn it around and strengthen you instead. Here's the truth that leads to us having courage to keep building. We're about to pray. It's based on God's grace. And I want you to remember this. The thing that was meant to defeat you, God will use to equip you. Come on, I got to say that just one more time. The thing that was meant to defeat you, God will use to equip you. Let me just give us some scripture about that. Can I say it one more time? I want you to get it in your heart. I don't think there's a slide on that one, but get this in your mind. The thing that the enemy meant to defeat you, God will use to equip you. Come on, if you receive that, come on, somebody say, I receive it. Here's what the Apostle Paul said about that. 2 Corinthians 12:8-10. He was going through something in his flesh. He said, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said this. This was God's response. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weaknesses. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in my needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Here's the idea today in conclusion this morning, that when you're experiencing enemies and obstacles, things that could potentially knock you off your assignment, get you distracted, get you off mission, it's the sufficiency of God's grace working in you to perfect his strength in you while you're in your weakened conditions, church. In other words, if you have infirmities, if you've got personal needs, if you're in distress, if you're serving the purposes of Christ, you've got great grace and strength from God being funneled through to you in the form of power from Christ resting on you. It gives you strength to resist beyond your own strength to resist. Aren't you glad about that? That's why you and I this morning can say with the Apostle Paul that when we are weak, then we are strong. God's taking those infirmities, those distresses, those persecutions, and he's flipping it. And he's using those things to equip you and strengthen you and get you ready for the next phase of your assignment. Come on, if you receive it, begin to praise him right now. Come on, just praise him right now in this house. Just begin to praise him right now.